You are listening to the Reverse Stick, the Global Hockey Podcast, and it's time now for our feature interview. And this week, we're off to New Zealand. The Hockey World League finals for women are about to get underway, and we're going to be talking to John Whiting, the media manager from Hockey New Zealand, about the tournament and some of the background story to how they managed to pick up this tournament as well, and the organisation that goes in behind it. So welcome to the Reverse Stick, John Whiting. Welcome, John.
Good afternoon to you guys, or good morning over there, I suppose.
Yes, it's a 24-hour clock in the hockey world.
That's right.
Now, you guys must be very excited and very busy. We're just a couple of days away from the Hockey World League finals.
Yeah, that's right. A nice little mixture of both, I guess it would be fair to say. Obviously, a lot of excitement for us both as an organisation and for the sport, really, around the country. But also, like you say, plenty still to do with the event kicking off very, very soon.
So what's the interest like at the moment at home? Is there a lot of coverage coming through from the media over there?
Yeah, we're starting to see some really good pickup this week. So we've had an EFIH media day this week where we had all our major media out, and we've seen stories on TV each night of the week so far, which has been great and something that we're not really used to here in New Zealand. Our Vantage Black Sticks men and women do play a lot of games, and it is sometimes a challenge, especially when they're overseas or in Europe and playing in strange time zones, to get that on TV in particular is a bit of a challenge. So to have it on our back doorstep has really helped, and it's really good to see the general public and the media jumping on board and really getting into it.
So you mentioned the general public there. Ticket sales going well?
Ticket sales are going well, and classic Auckland, we always have a challenge with the weather. It can be raining one minute and sunny the next, so there is that little hurdle to get over, but we are tracking very well with sales, and especially that opening weekend. We against the Dutch on the Friday night, so that will be a cracker, and we're hoping to basically sell that opening weekend out and really create sort of a fortress for our team in particular, but also a great event for anyone travelling and watching their teams in action as well.
John, have you got many visitors coming to New Zealand for the hockey? Has there been much of an international turnout, I suppose?
Yeah, it's been actually really interesting watching as the ticket sales track along. We get a report sort of every day which breaks down the number of ticket sales and where those are coming from, and we've certainly got visitors coming from every participating nation and more. I think we've got a reputation from about 15 or 16 different countries travelling over for the event, so that's fantastic, and I guess it just shows the scale of the event and what it means to all of those hockey nations, and in particular the ones competing. So really, really looking forward to that.
Do you have any international media trooping across? Are there any making the trip?
Yeah, I think we've got around 30 to 40 media in total. A lot of those are locals, but we do have a lot of international photographers in particular coming over. And we've got some Dutch reporters, Argentinian reporters, and English as well. So that is really nice. We'll add a little Kiwi welcome for them and a special element. We understand it's a long way for them to come, and they're probably not used to such a long sort of travel. We welcomed the team from FIH earlier this week, and it was a long flight for them, I think. You know, used to travelling around Europe more so than anything. So we are used to that, obviously, being from down in New Zealand and you guys over in Australia are used to that sort of long haul travel, but yeah, we'll try and give them a warm welcome when they do arrive.
And John, you mentioned the distance there. You know, I'm sure New Zealanders understand the term tyranny of distance as much as Australians do, but how hard was it for you to convince the powers that be to bring the tournament to New Zealand, or was it an opportunity they jumped at?
Well, we did go through a long process of bidding for the event, and that included a wide variety of things, really. You know, how it stacked up commercially, what our following was as a sport, how we were tracking high performance wise, a whole lot of things. Also, the broadcast and bringing on a partner locally to support an event was a big part of it. So we did go through a long process there. We're shortlisted, and then after that, we're successful in the event. And we're talking really sort of 5 years ago now.
Wow.
I think the powers that be, as you say, over in head office, were keen to bring a bit of Kiwi flavour to the sport, and it really is really nice to see that they are supportive of that. You know, we've got such a great sort of product, especially in Europe and around those sort of areas too. But to be able to bring it to the other side of the world is fantastic, and we're really grateful of their support as well.
And on New Zealand as a whole, I mean, you guys have a really rich sporting history. I mean, you punch way above your weight on a world scale. You know, what is the place of hockey in New Zealand?
Yeah, certainly hockey's probably not in the top two or three sports. You're always competing with the likes of the All Blacks, who are almost sort of untouchable here.
Sorry, what sport do they play, John?
We don't need to touch on that for you guys if you don't want to. So we're certainly down the pecking order. I'd say we're probably in that range of 5th to 10th in terms of popularity in the fan aspect, but certainly in terms of player numbers and in the junior sort of ages, we are well up there. And that's a real credit to the sport and some of the changes that FIH have made at the international level, making it appealing to all age ranges. And we offer hockey at a club and association level here in New Zealand, really from, you know, the age of 5 right through to whenever. You know, we've got a big masters following as well. So you're talking over 35s, and we've got teams competing, you know, right through to 75.
Wow.
So it does have a really great following within the sporting community. We're just trying to really elevate that in terms of probably the fan and event offering, which this is probably the first stepping point really in our evolution in that space.
So what kind of things can we expect to see going on around the tournament? You've mentioned the word event there, and obviously event doesn't just mean the games that are on the field. So what else have you got going on around?
Yeah, good. A really interesting question, and probably our fans or our hockey fans who traditionally come out and watch our teams in action are used to standing around a fence. You might get a marquee with a bit of corporate hospitality in it, and that's really it. So this is really a huge step up for us. So we've got, you know, a massive big screen. We've got seating for around 3,000 to 4,000 around the stadium, plus additional standing space. We've got a huge corporate hospitality area, which is fully enclosed. We've got a full spectator village with entertainment on stages, big screens. I think we've got about 25 outlet shops. We've got full catering. So in terms of an event experience, and being that our games are sort of in that evening time slot, it's a real event, I suppose you would call it, for all ages. You know, bring the family along, have a feed, and watch some top-level hockey. So we're really looking forward, I guess, to how that is perceived in New Zealand, and we haven't really had anything like that here before, other than, you know, potentially the Men's Champions Trophy in 2011, which is, you know, 6 years ago now. So in terms of people remembering back to then, you know, memories can be short, and we're looking to bring on a whole new fan base, really. I'm looking forward to that.
John, are you seeing some of perhaps the expat communities of the different nations starting to come out?
Yeah, absolutely we are. And, you know, particularly the Argentinians, they're very passionate, as you'll well know, in a lot of sports, but in particular hockey. So it's been really great to have them come and say, you know, we want to sit together in a stand. We want to be able to cheer on our team. They're fanatics. So that's awesome. And we've got the same with the English as well. And, you know, probably some of the other participating countries are a bit more sparse and hard to tap into. Like the Dutch, there's probably not too many of them here, but I'm sure they will all find each other and band together when that time comes.
So is that something where you've reached out to those communities?
Yeah, that's right. We have. We've done some good work, I guess, in the community space and trying to tap into some of those networks and make sure they get their tickets to watch their teams in action, which they would have never really had a chance to do here in New Zealand before.
Now, I've been watching the sort of the build-up over the past couple of weeks, like you say, with the changes to the stadium, and I've also seen plenty of photographs of the bus stops that you've got branded around and about in Auckland, which I think look absolutely sensational. What other things are you doing to drive awareness?
We're doing a lot through social media, actually. So we've engaged a company to help us drive ticket sales, really, through ads. So what we've found is, being a sport that doesn't have millions and millions of dollars to throw around for billboards on the side of buildings and things like that, we probably need to be a bit smarter about how we've approached that. And I think we've done it really well. So through that, we've been able to sort of target, users who have been to our website or have played in specific programs here in New Zealand and really targeted those people that way. And then the next part is just being able to reach out to those sort of generalist sports fans. And fair to say, the media have done a great job for us there and actually covering the sport and giving exposure to, I guess, what would potentially be harder to find. And, if you're a hockey fan, you'd have to look for it rather than it coming to you on your 6 p.m. news. So we've done pretty well, and obviously still a lot more work to go, and we want to basically sell out every day. So we're still working hard on that.
So you've got a headline sponsor for the tournament, Sentinel Homes. Can you tell us a little bit about how they've become involved and what they're all about?
Yeah, sure. Sentinel Homes are an Auckland-based home building company. They're award winners, probably foremost in their industry, and it's been really great to see them jump on board. So we have been talking to them, for a couple of months, really, just around hockey in general, and the opportunity came up to be a naming rights partner for this event, and they loved it. They jumped on board. And I guess the main idea around it was just that the values of hockey and hockey in New Zealand really aligned to their company. And it's really great to see we brought on board a naming rights partner, Vantage, earlier this year for our Black Sticks teams. So it's great to see companies looking at hockey now in a really serious way and saying, well, these guys are doing an amazing job on the world stage, and the values that they bring out on the turf and away from the turf, they're role models, they really are people to look up to, and to for them to want to be involved is fantastic. So we're extremely grateful to Sentinel Homes and all of our sponsors as well.
Yeah, I can't imagine, John, that Sentinel think they're going to be building a lot of homes in Delhi or Buenos Aires in the near future. So it must be a real coup to get a local that's prepared to support the game in a case like this.
Yeah, it's fantastic. And I guess it's great to have a local, more so than anything, because they really have that connection to us. We're in contact with them every day, and they're joining us really in a journey more so than anything. They're really excited when they see an extra stand pop up, or they see their branding come up on some side fencing, and it's really great to actually have that face-to-face contact. And we're really hoping that we can kind of stay with the likes of Sentinel Homes going forward, and that they want to stay on that hockey journey with us. We've got some big plans sort of in our strategy towards 2020 and beyond, and we really want to stay really engaged with partners like them who love what we do, and we love what they do in return as well.
Well, you've mentioned Sentinel there. You also mentioned Vantage as well. I've spoken to John recently about Ford sponsoring your NHL competition. So there's obviously some really good work being done by you guys within Hockey New Zealand. And it's great to see that, like you say, some local partners getting on board and see some value in supporting hockey, because it doesn't happen all over the world.
Yeah, that's true. And I've got to give credit really to our teams, our high performance teams in particular, and also our community teams. It does make it a lot easier to sell when you do have that quality of, human being, really. So we've got some great programs. Obviously, the Vantage Black Six men coached by Darren Smith and the women coached by Mark Hager, they've really developed a culture where, our players are accessible, they play at sort of venues where other clubs have access to them. They're, you know, they're talking, they're signing autographs, they're, you know, chatting to the kids about how they can get better at the little skills and tricks and tips. So, you know, that they really have become role models, and that's great to see the evolution of hockey in New Zealand as we sort of come further towards this professional era. To see, and they are very humble because they're still, a lot of our players are still working full time. So, you know, they'll train sort of 5 a.m. in the morning and then 8 p.m. at night in some instances. So they work bloody hard to get where they are. And I think that really reflects, at the other end in terms of what they want to give back as well, because so many people are supporting them to get to where they are. They really want to give back, and that makes it, a much easier sort of, they know that they're being part of something special.
So just set the scene for us now. We're a couple of days out at the stadium. I guess we've got some of the teams are there and they're training already.
Yeah, we've got all of our teams have arrived now. So they're all here and they've, you know, they've got their training slots each day. And we've had a few practice games. So each team are playing a few of those practice games, non-official tests. Against teams not in their pool. So that's been good to see, I guess, the jet lag and rust shake off a few of those teams as well.
Definitely. It's a pity you couldn't have held up some of them at customs a little bit longer. You could try and get every advantage.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. Well, obviously we had the Dutch and USA playing in Australia over the last week, so they've had a lot of match prep as well over there, so they'll be coming and firing, I'm sure.
Yeah, and the Dutch are looking scarily good at the moment, aren't they?
Unfortunately, yes, they are.
When you talk about hockey in New Zealand, what sort of competition do you rate? Is it sort of regionalised? Do you find that there's pockets of hockey, or is it something that's spread pretty much evenly across the country?
Yeah, we're an interesting one. So we are very well spread across the country. Our biggest playing base is probably in that Auckland, North Harbour, sort of central North Island area. But we are spread right across the country in all age groups. And the way that it runs here is really on a club and what we call association basis. So, the venue that we're at here is, North Harbour, Hockey Stadium, and they run club competitions from premier level, masters, junior grades, school programs. So they really are the deliverers of our sport, and they do a really, really good job of that, as do all of our associations around the country. We've actually got 32 of them. So there's a lot of people to deal with, but they do a very, very good job. And then above that, we have 8 regions, and really our 8 regions are from a high performance perspective. So they compete at the likes of our Ford National Hockey League and our Vantage Under 21s and Under 18s tournaments. Really a way for a conglomerate, I suppose, of all players from a variety of associations to come together and compete as a team. But yeah, the clubs and associations really do drive the delivery of our sport in New Zealand, and as I said, they do an extremely good job of it. So we are very supportive of them, and they are very supportive of us, which is a great space to be in, I think.
You just mentioned the Ford National Hockey League there, and we appreciate the streaming of the finals that happened, and that went out to the globe. And boy, oh boy, what a final in the men's, eh?
It wasn't bad, was it? It was a fantastic way to finish the tournament.
Yeah, absolute edge of the seat stuff, and you just didn't know which way it was going to go, and then there was a bit of dominance towards the end there.
Yeah, that's right. It was a fantastic game, and the North Harbour guys obviously are still boasting about it, which is great. So we see them every day, and it's still sort of top of the mind here, and that's really great to see, and that it actually means something really special to them to achieve at that tournament. It's awesome.
Yeah, you could see the passion was really obvious to see there with them, and yeah, it was super tournament.
Yeah, absolutely. And obviously a lot of those teams had, you know, current and former Vantage Black Sticks playing for them. So the passion is real, and especially the North Harbour versus Auckland rivalry. You don't get too much better than that here in New Zealand. So the Auckland team went away a little bit sour after that one, and then I guess you say North Harbour have bragging rights. And they also won our Ramesh Patel Shield for this year, which is really a combination of all our high performance tournaments based on a points system. So they are our best performing region as well. So they've got that to their name as well. The trophy cabinet is looking pretty full for them this year.
When you're holding in a tournament like this, there's a lot of preparation work goes into it. You concentrate on getting the event up and running, and everybody's busy. But once the event's finished, what sort of legacy do you see this is leaving hockey in New Zealand?
Yeah, I think this event will leave a huge legacy for us, mostly in terms of getting that exposure really in the faces of everyone. You know, we talked about the huge media coverage already, which will get even greater during the event. And just, I think for people to be able to see that this really is, not even next level up, but next level up in terms of that event experience and offering. They've never kind of seen hockey like this in New Zealand before, and we're hoping that it will really, really drive a greater fan following, within hockey, and also trying our best, to bring in, you know, the kids and those people who are coming through. You know, they might be trying other sports. We want them to choose hockey, and for all of these reasons. So this will be a showcase of not only the sport, but also a showcase of hockey in New Zealand. And we're running a small sticks program, which is our in-schools program. We're running a little competition alongside the tournament over on the third turf, which is behind the main spectator turf, which will bring in, you know, schools from around Auckland to be part of the event. So there is a really nice level of engaging with all these different segments who are already involved in our community, and we're hoping, you know, that the likes of those kids go and tell their friends, oh, this is something that you've got to be part of. So we're hoping, you know, not only to build that fan following, but also really boost the player numbers in New Zealand, you know, over the next few years. And this is the first step, really, as we move into Pro League in 2019.
So who have you got on board for your broadcast sponsor there?
Yep, so our broadcast partner is Sky Television in New Zealand. So they've already put a lot of planning and preparation in place for the event. They've put in a really great commentary team. So just recently retired Gemma McCaw is on the fronting panel for that, along with Katie Glynn, another former Blackstick. And then on lead commentary, we've got the likes of Ricky Swinnell, who's quite a well-known media personality, I suppose you'd call it, in New Zealand, and Sandy Hitchcock. So it's really an all-female commentary team, which is probably a first for us sport-wise in New Zealand and for Sky Sports. So we're really proud of that, and we're sure they'll do a really good job of bringing hockey to life and really portraying what we've got in place on the ground here to everyone in New Zealand and worldwide.
John, there's obviously it's not just the players involved. You've got coaches, doctors, you've got all the technical officials from the FIH. How are you accommodating all of these people? Is there anybody being billeted, or is everybody, you know, separate resorts they're perhaps staying at?
Yeah, there's a few different ones. So the main event hotel for us is the Spencer and Byron, which is a nice high sort of apartment and hotel facility in Takapuna, which is probably about a 10 to 15 minute drive from the venue here. And we've also got a couple of other hotels for media and other teams and officials over the Harbour Bridge closer towards Auckland City. So there are a couple around, but I don't think anyone's quite to the extent of being billeted or camping out in a tent. I think everyone should have a nice roof over their head.
So are some of the teams staying together, are they?
Yeah, they are. I think we've got four teams at the Spencer and Byron, including the New Zealand team, and then the other four are out over the Harbour Bridge, probably about a half-hour drive from the venue, so not too far away, but they are in a nice hotel.
Now, how about the cost associated with that? Because we often, I think it's something that slips the general public's mind. When you're throwing on events like that, it's not just having the teams come there and fly there. You've got to house them, you've got to feed them.
Yeah, that's right. The cost when you first look at it on paper is a little bit scary, really. when you first look at the budgets, you go, wow, this is an astronomical number. But as you move along and you bring on some great commercial partners, and your ticket and gate sales and all of those things, that add up to make an event viable. So there is a lot of work that goes into making sure you don't come away at the end of the day making a huge loss. So we've had a lot of people supporting us in making that work, and being a typical Kiwi event, we've found some great ways to be resourceful about a few things whilst also putting on a world class event. So I think fans in New Zealand at the ground will really be taken aback. It's been great to see the players come in particular the New Zealand ones, and say, wow, this is looking amazing. And they can't quite believe that we're at where we are now. So that's fantastic to see. But, I try and stay away from the accounts, to be honest with you.
John, how do you do it in New Zealand? Honestly, you guys, you've got a rugby team that's been the best in the world for 30 years. You continue to produce world-class cricketers, world-class netballers. You're a good chance of winning the Rugby League World Cup in a couple of weeks' time. I mean, how do you guys fit all this sport in?
Yeah, great question. I think for us, and I speak from my personal experience, I think we really, really benefit from the community coaches or the teachers in schools who really jump on board and support certain sports. I know the school I went to here in Auckland, Rosmini College, was a huge rugby school, and we won the championship multiple times while I was there. But really, you take in someone who's a former player from a high level, or someone who's a great coach, and they come in and they really embrace that and drive it through. And I think you see that across a lot of sports here in New Zealand. Obviously, rugby sort of dominates the landscape in terms of putting coaching or programs in place at those lower age groups. But certainly there are a lot of other sports, and some that you wouldn't even think of that are coming through school programs and up through the grades, the likes of lacrosse. I know that's developing on the North Shore here in Auckland as well. And it really does take, I guess, a group of personalities who are skilled in that area to bring it through. And then, when you get past the secondary school level, it's bringing them into your high performance programs and bringing them through that way. So I think really, it probably is helpful that we, in terms of a landmass, you compare it to Australia, we're fairly compact. So a lot of shared resources, I suppose, going on. Really, really great sort of community and club level engagement, I suppose, really helps for us.
It just sounds fantastic, and it seems like you've got the right blend of everything going on there, John. Now, a couple of days to go till the tournament starts. What does it look like for you as a media manager?
Yeah, for me, it's actually a great problem to have, is getting a whole lot of media requests, people who want to talk to our players. We usually do see that around big tournaments, but nothing to this extent. So it really is fantastic, but it does keep us busy. It's a matter of dealing with our team manager, who's fantastic, Jude Menezes. He does a very good job for us, he is really our man who looks at the schedule and says, here's where we're free. We might have 10 minutes spare in a day in between meetings and game analysis. And I think the great thing from my perspective is it's never hard for me. So because we're a sport who is always looking for coverage, we never fight that. And our team really does a great job of embracing it. And they want to be, in front of people, and they want to bring the sport out. It makes my job a lot easier having that in place, and for me, it's just preparing for a huge game on Friday night, in terms of coverage for that, which will supplement the broadcast. So we'll be all across our social media channels, our website, Facebook. We'll be bringing as much additional content as we can during the entire event. And then for me, afterwards is just bringing some of that to life as well. So we'll be grabbing player interviews and bringing some colour to the event, that which you might not always get from the broadcast. So I will be busy, but it's a great sort of busy. We've never had something like this in New Zealand, and I've been to a few big tournaments, including Olympic Games and Commonwealth Games, but there's certainly something special about playing at home.
Are you going to get the chance to watch much hockey, John, or are you going to be busy the whole time?
I'll certainly be watching all of our games, and in between that, I'll be watching as much as I can, in and around, wanting to primarily push the messaging from our team, but also the event in general. And the FIH have a great team here in New Zealand as well, who will be bringing to life all of the non-New Zealand games and flavour as well. So we're looking forward to, as we sort of bring all of that together, what that looks like. It should be pretty cool.
And just before we let you go, John, the question we ask everybody, any predictions?
Oh, look, I'm a little bit biased in that sense. So I've got to say Vantage Black Sticks. We do have a good team. We've got some great young talent coming through, but also some really good experience. You know, you look at the likes of a Stacey Mickelson, who's still only 26 years of age, but has played 238 tests. She's outstanding. Anyone who's kind of watched her in training or in a game, I'm sure we'll attest to that. And, you know, she's joined by the likes of Sammy Charlton, who's, again, only 25, has played over 200 games. So there's some real experience in our team, and, you know, you balance that up with some of the youth as well. We've got an 18-year-old in our team, Madison Dorr. So she's a striker up front. She'll be, really tested in her first major tournament. You know, you pit her against the likes of the Dutch. She'll be straight into the fire, but she's certainly up for the challenge. And then I guess if you take New Zealand aside, like we spoke about earlier, Netherlands are just an outstanding team. They're incredible. And I guess you don't become number one in the world for no reason. And they really have continued to show that, and they'll be the favourites here, I'm sure. The English over in Pool B as well are looking fantastic, and you can't go past the Argentinians. You add into the mix the likes of Germany, USA, China and Korea, and at a tournament like this, I suppose anything can happen, especially when you get into those quarterfinal situations. It's going to be really fun to see who makes it through that alive.
So that's the first four teams named there as your semi-finalists then.
well, let's go with that. Let's go with that. We'll make a bold prediction.
Yeah, of course, we hold you to these things here at the Rubber Stick. If they're anything like our predictions, John.
Yeah, well, lock me in for that. As long as there's no repercussions for me in terms of having to pay anyone money, we'll go with that.
Now, just on, so if you can remind everybody on social media where they can find you, John.
Yeah, sure. I was still laughing at your.
No, you're right.
So we're on quite a few different social channels. You can follow us on Facebook /NZBlacksticks on there. We're on Twitter at Blacksticks, and also on Instagram as NZBlacksticks. So those are our three main channels, which will all be extremely active. Already. But especially more so during the event as well. So I'm very lucky in that one of our Vantage Black Sticks, who's not playing this event due to an injury, Kirsten Pierce, is helping me out. So she'll add her little insight and flavour throughout all of our social as well. And I'm sure we'll add something very special to anyone watching, no matter where they are in the world.
John, it's a mammoth task you guys have taken on, and we wish you all the very best. We hope it's a fantastic tournament, and you do get to see a little bit more hockey than you think you will. Great to talk to you this morning, and good luck to the Vantage Black Sticks as well. It would be fantastic to see them knock off some of those Europeans.
That's what we are hoping. Well, thank you guys very much for the time to have a chat. We really hope for hope that you guys, really enjoy the coverage. And even though I hate to mention it, but even though your team's not in the event,
we really hope you enjoy it.
We hope everyone around the world really enjoys some real world class hockey, and what a way to finish off the year.
Yeah, we just hope that hockey's the winner.
Good call.
Great to talk. Cheers, John. All the best.
Thank you, guys.